This conversation was recorded as part of the University of Glasgow's Spotlight podcast in June 2022. On it, we speak with Professor Bart Van Ark, Managing Director of the Productivity Institute, talk about their work examining productivity in our economy, and we discuss why it's important and what we can do to improve our productivity performance in the UK and Scotland. Welcome to the Spotlight podcast, Bart.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Looking forward to the conversation.
Great. Now, we hear a lot about productivity, and in some ways, it's perhaps what economists talk about the most. But equally, it's often something that's not always well understood in wider business and policy circles. So can you give our listeners a rough guide to what we mean when we talk about productivity?
Yeah, you're exactly right. When you go out of the economics department at a university or maybe the business school, if you go outside, the word productivity raises a lot of eyebrows and question marks. So, you know, basically, if you ask a person in the street what productivity is, they say, well, I don't know, but at the end of the day, it may just be the end of my job. So that is one definition. Now, luckily, in the business community, we have a little bit better understanding. But I think there's a good way to think about these kind of things is sort of, so economists and academics generally would define productivity as some kind of measure of outputs over a measure of input. So a very common measure is take the GDP or the gross value added of the economy and divide it by the number of hours that people put in or the amount of machinery that they're using, those kind of measures. And those are very widely used at different types of definitions. In the business community, it varies a lot. It's actually quite interesting. You know, of course, those are very narrow measures of efficiency in product lines, for example. So we call that technical efficiency. CFOs in an organization will talk about cost efficiency. So that will look at, you know, whether the cost gives them the sort of value for money, if you like. But if you talk to, for example, HR managers, they will say, well, productivity for us is sort of, you know, more engaged employees because we know that they are actually going to be better for the performance of the firm. So even within a firm, there are lots of different discussions. And if you then go out of the firm and you go to policymakers, for example, they would say, well, it's just not just about business, but isn't it also more widely about how productive we become as an economy? So how are we using our people and our investment in infrastructure and in healthcare and education in order to create good societal outcomes? So the point really is there are many different definitions. I don't think that we should aim for just one. I think that's actually not helpful. But one thing we do at the Productivity Institute is trying to better understand how do these measures relate? And so how can we then better have a conversation that we understand what we're talking about?
And you mentioned the Productivity Institute, which is the institute that you lead based at the University of Manchester, but with many partners across the UK and internationally. So what is that doing? So what's the purpose of the Productivity Institute?
So the Productivity Institute is a research institute, an academic research institute funded by the UKRI, the UK funding agency for academic research. But the purpose of the institute really was to create a nationwide research organization that does not only bring together the brightest minds on thinking around productivity from 8 Russell Group universities, including the University of Glasgow, we're headquartered in Manchester, that's where I am, but also to have a very deep engagement program with the business community and the policy community. So one very important part of the Productivity Institute is indeed to have deep engagement with the business community through 8 what we call productivity forums. So we have 5 in England, and then we have 3 in each of the devolved nations, including a Scotland productivity forum. And that for us is really important because they are give us the opportunity to engage on our research insights, but also understand what the questions are that the business community and the policy community had in the context of the region or the nation that they're located in.
And we'll pick up some of the things around what are the particular issues within a Scottish context and a UK context about productivity in a second. But you define what productivity is. Why should we care about it? Why is it important? And why do we spend, as economists and business people, spending so much time talking about it?
Yeah, so when you take the narrow business concepts, it's even though, as I just mentioned, a business usually doesn't have a very clear-cut definition of productivity, every business leader in the back of their mind will realize that you put something in and there's something to come out of it. And if you do that in an efficient and in an effective way, it will improve your business performance. So productivity helps businesses to get better at what they are doing. So I think that is one reason why it is important. But more broadly, so economists and academics would say, and as you have shown, that productivity has a very clear relationship to the performance of the economy. So economies that show rapid productivity growth are economies that grow faster on the whole, that are able to create better living standards, to make more investments. And there's even research, some of the research that we also have supported, that shows that actually standards of well-being and actually are going up in relation to productivity. And that actually goes two ways. You know, productivity creates more well-being if you do it right, but more well-being, more healthy and more educated and even happier people also tend to be more productive people. So it really is important for not just businesses, but also for society and as a whole, which is also why public policymakers and the public sector itself is also playing quite an important role, not just in terms of being productive themselves, which we want the public sector to be, but also in terms of creating the right conditions for the private sector to be productive in what they're doing.
And to maybe pick up on one particular thing you mentioned there, which is quite interesting, is around the link between productivity and well-being, and then well-being back to productivity. And there are some people that argue that focusing on productivity or focusing upon economic growth is a wrong thing. And instead, we should be thinking about measures of economic well-being, accounting for the environment, looking at the ecosystem and climate change and the like, and say that actually a criticism of mainstream economic thinking is that we spend too much time thinking about productivity, and that's part of the problem. How would you respond to that? And maybe if you could flesh out just the comment you made about the links between productivity and well-being.
Yeah, that comment is very understandable, because quite often productivity in the narrow sense suggests that you try to do more by squeezing more out of what you already have. So whether this is people and let them work harder, you know, let them put in more sweat, or whether it is utilizing resources in such a way that they're damaging our environment, all these kind of things is a narrow way of thinking about productivity, of just getting more with less. But frankly, productivity historically really shows that if we put in the right sources for growth, which is educated people, healthy people, so that's the well-being component, we make the right investments as companies in goods and services that are environmentally friendly, we can actually sustain economic growth. And that will ultimately, and that's why productivity so is important, it will ultimately then deliver us the additional resources to reinvest in the economy in order to improve the performance of the economy further. So that is why there's a lot of work going on, not just in the Productivity Institute, but also in the Office of National Statistics and in other places, to rethink the concept of gross domestic product a little bit and say, well, we have to think about, for example, what does this do to the environment, and how do we adjust those kind of measures also for people's living standards and distributional measures. This is very complex. It's really hard to measure that, so it's not easy to do. But I think the awareness to think sort of broadly about, you know, the resources that you have as society and the outcomes that you will generate, again, it's sort of outcomes over resources. And that's what productivity is about. I don't think that we can get all these good things, well-being and a clean environment and so on, if we don't generate the resources to make the investment. I just don't think that we can do that. Just the scale of the issues is too large to think that if we do less and less and less, we will end up in a better place. So I think that's why I think you will see that positive relationship clearly there in the data.
And one of the things that has been the interesting for UK context internationally as well is this so-called puzzle about what's been happening to productivity over the last decade, slightly longer. Could you maybe just explain what that puzzle is in layperson's terms, and what your thinking is about what might be explaining what's been happening to productivity in the UK and elsewhere in recent times?
Yeah, in a way, actually, the puzzle suggests that we really don't know. And we actually know a lot about why productivity has been slowing down for probably more than 1.5 decades now. And you really need to put it in sort of two categories. One is that actually around the Western world or around advanced economies, productivity has pretty much slowed down everywhere. It has slowed down in continental Europe, it has slowed down in the United States, has slowed down big way in Japan and in other countries in East Asia. So it's a global phenomenon, which perhaps has to do with things like new technologies that are very promising but take time before they translate themselves into productivity. Adopting these new technologies, new digital technologies, are incredibly complex. And it's just a matter of time. And then don't forget that we got in between a huge financial crisis, which actually made it harder for companies to make investments, the investment we just talked about earlier, to actually accelerate that adoption and innovation. So I think that's why we're probably seeing that slowdown at what we call the frontier. Now, it is true that in the United Kingdom, the slowdown is slightly larger. It's not as the gap is not as large as was perhaps assumed before. There have been some adjustments to the numbers, but still there is a gap. And the second part of the issue, therefore, is why is it that the UK is even slightly slower than the rest of the advanced economies? And I think that has to do with a couple of things. One is the economic structure of the economy. So we tend to have an economy that doesn't have a lot of manufacturing. And the manufacturing sector that we still do have, we only have a limited number of really world-class companies that are leading on productivity. So that's a big part of the story. And another part of the story is that we have what we sometimes call a relatively long tail, which means there's a lot of tail of less productive firms that really don't grow productivity very much. And that tail is also highly concentrated in particular regions and countries within the UK. So typically London and the Southeast and perhaps also parts of the of East England are doing very, very well. But most of the rest of the country is falling behind. And if you look at Scotland, you also have large differences between the Central Belt, for example, versus other regions of Scotland. So it's a big disparity going on. Another issue in the UK is the weakness in intermediate skills creation. So we have excellent universities in the UK, also in Scotland. Actually, in terms of high skills, Scotland is one of the best regions or best nations and areas within the UK. But we're not doing great in the area of intermediate and lower skills. And frankly, there that's, you know, particularly in the case of Scotland, the percentage of people to working in a population with no qualifications is actually the worst across the United Kingdom. So it's a UK-wide problem, but it's certainly hurting Scotland as well. And it's been a problem around for a very long time. So I think it's these two issues. It's these, that economic structure and the way that some firms do well, but lots of firms don't, that they are sort of persistently located in low-performing areas where we have a weak skill structure and therefore generally also kind of a weak environment in terms of health and well-being and things like that, I think is a reason why that gap doesn't close between the UK and other advanced economies. We don't seem to be able to catch up with the rest of the Western world.
And a question about, you mentioned the region piece there. Now, is the variation that we have in the UK in terms of regional productivity performance as big as the regional variations within other countries? So not just comparing the UK to Germany or France, but actually within Germany, do they have the same disparities in productivity performance that you're seeing from a UK perspective?
Yeah, it's a great question. The disparity that I mentioned between London and the Southeast and parts of East England and the rest of the country, that disparity has been there for a long time. It perhaps has somewhat grown, but not dramatically. But if you drill down, you begin and you look at sort of more specific localities, you see a couple of really interesting things. One key thing is that so-called second-tier cities, so all the large cities that come after London, are all underperforming relative to their peer cities in Europe. So if you look at Manchester or Birmingham or Glasgow, Cardiff, you know, that all of them just show that if you look at comparative countries in the UK, their productivity level tends to be 75% or even less of that. So the second tier cities, we have a problem. A lot of that is it may be related still to some historical issues if they're related to the industrial decline. That obviously plays a role, but it also probably has to do with the failure of creating really good city areas that work very effectively amongst themselves. The other thing that I find very striking in the UK, also from personal experience, is that there can be very large differences in relatively small areas. So I now, you know, Productivity Institute is headquartered in Manchester, so I live in the north of England. And I find it surprising compared to other countries where I lived, including the US and the Netherlands, that there can be very large differences in the performance of places, of towns and cities in relatively small distances. And that suggests that there is an issue around mobility or lack of mobility, that is. So some places, if there's a firm that goes bust, there's just and there's no policy in place to, you know, make sure that we get new economic activity there, the place just goes downhill and there's no kind of really movement between those kind of places. So I think it's that regional disparity that tends to be very extreme below the top level in the UK. You see that much less, for example, in Germany. But even in a place like the Netherlands or Northern Europe, these differences are not as large as in the UK.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that I think is quite striking from the Productive Institute's report on Scotland, led by the colleagues here in Glasgow, was talking about the variation within Scotland, where you have oil and gas and the energy industry in the northeast, and then you've got Edinburgh with its large financial services sector, and you've got the rural areas in Scotland, and you've got Glasgow and the central belt, and you get quite significant variation in performance. Yeah. Over relatively small geographical areas.
Yeah, and that's actually, in a way, Scotland is almost like a miniature of the problems that the UK faces more widely, because a lot of things come together there. Some quite different industrial structures in these regions that you mentioned, obviously the Northeast, been very dependent on the energy sector. Edinburgh has been very dependent on the public sector and finance. Glasgow is much more a mixed bag, but you know, suffers from this industrial decline that, or tries to recover from that industrial decline that it has suffered from before. And then you have, yeah, the Highlands and the Islands, but also the South, where there's just much, much less activity, and therefore it's much harder to drive these things together. And then, you know, we talked earlier about the skills issue that we're facing. There's a very large share of people in Scotland that really don't have any significant qualifications. And that, of course, makes it really, really hard to invest in better productivity growth.
And just to divert slightly, and a slightly technical question, but I think it's probably one that I think a lot of people will have, is it's just about how you measure productivity. So you mentioned broadly outputs by inputs, but that might be quite obvious if you're in manufacturing, or you can probably see how you would do it in something like financial services. But how would you do that in public services? So how would you measure the productivity of a university, for example, or the productivity of the health service? And what do we mean by productivity in that context?
Yeah, and that's a great question. And in fact, I'm doing some work myself at the moment on thinking about productivity in the public sector, because we do get quite often this question that people say, look, you can't measure productivity in services, let alone in the public sector. And I don't quite agree with that. I think it really is about thinking what is your, what I call delivery chain, right? So if you're a services organization or a public sector organization, you have to make a clear distinction between your output and your outcomes, right? I mean, if you're in a hospital, your output is, you know, deliver a certain amount of surgeries. But the ultimate question is not about, you know, the more surgeries, the better. The ultimate account is, you know, whether people are out of the hospital faster, whether once they have surgery, they will stay healthy for longer. So, you know, their length of life is going to increase. So comparing outputs and outcomes, you really need to keep them separate. But once you know what your outputs are, you know that you're doing the right things in order to achieve your outcomes, then the question is, how do you do things right? Right? So outputs and outcomes is, am I doing the right thing? Inputs to output is, am I doing the things right? So as a hospital, again, if I want to increase my number of surgeries, how can I do that in an effective way? That I make good use of nurses and doctors and equipment and new technology and my buildings, and where do I have those buildings? So there are lots of questions that a manufacturing firm would ask themselves, that any kind of services firm can also ask themselves. But it starts with trying mapping out the delivery chain, identifying what are my outcomes, my outputs, my inputs, and what is the budget that I have, because that's quite often, certainly in the public sector, hard constrained. And you have to make choices. Once you do that, you can begin to identify, you know, where are the biggest constraints that do not make me all that productive or do not make me all that effective. And you can begin to tackle those. And that is what makes you more productive. So I think you can do this and you can measure it. But it you need to step back from what do you really want to do as an organization.
And one of the things that the Productive Institute is doing a lot of from reading the materials is not just trying to describe what's happening with productivity or think about improvements as measurement, but actually giving advice of what we can do about it. So how we can become more productive and what are the key areas we need to focus on. So if you were to give a top list of areas for Scottish policymakers, UK policymakers to focus upon in terms of improving our productivity performance over the long run, what would be on that list?
So I think it's good to think about sort of three big buckets to think about. One is people. The second is firms, and the third one is policies and institutions. So if you think about people, we already talked about skills, and I mentioned this issue of, yes, there are skill mismatches. I mean, you know, we always feel that we don't have the right people with the right skills, and we need to improve that match between demand and supply for skills. That's very important we do that. So we need to have a better understanding of what skills do we need for the future, and do our schools and our FE colleges and our technical colleges put out these kind of skills. But there's more to it. It's also this persistence of low skills. I mean, my bigger concern is that you have some of these regions where it's not so much a mismatch. Actually, there's just there's no demand for good skills and there's no supply of good skills. It's just persistently weak. These places are stuck. And that really leads to the question of things like, you know, the risk of places going for a low productivity growth path. So you go for low skills, low wages, low growth path, and you can kind of survive, particularly if you're working in local markets and you are largely self-financed with interest rates being low for a long time, changing now, but until recently, you could survive as a firm, but it wouldn't really work in the longer term. So you really have to invest in people and try to get them out of that low skill environment. It also would work very well then for dealing with issues like precarious employment and indeed improve well-being. So there's a big area around skills improvement. The second area is around firms. I mentioned earlier that, you know, the strange thing about this productivity slowdown is that we have this massive amount of new technology. You know, get excited about digital technology and AI and robotics and data science and you name it. And somehow, there are only a limited number of firms that really see strong productivity growth coming out of that. And that has to do with the difficulty to absorb these technologies within firms. So a lot of the work we do is trying to understand what is it, what are the barriers, and how can companies break down these barriers for adopting these new technologies? A lot is that about collaborating between different functions in the company. It is an agile and flexible workforce, quite often working in teams. So it's a very different way of working that companies do. And I think we need to do a lot more work to understand best practices. And then the last one is policies and institutions. And that comes in a couple of categories. One is related to sort of industrial policy and technology policy. We're living in a different age with digital technologies. We were looking at these large firms like the Googles and the Apples of the world and think they're sort of, you know, eating everybody's lunch. But at the same time, we know that we need them in order to generate these new digital technologies that we need to absorb. So how does industrial policy respond to that? And what's the new type of competition policy? Another one is the whole issue around short-termism that we really suffer from a lot in the UK. Some of that is sort of governance related. It's just the way that our financial system works, that, you know, a lot of lending tends to be focused on short-term returns rather than the longer term returns. And a lot of productivity comes in the long term. You need to invest and you need a significant payback time. So I think that's an important element to sort of begin to see how can we tackle that. And then last but not least, as we already discussed, is sort of the fragmentation in governance. So, you know, we really struggle with finding the right size of governance to identify and work on these issues. Productivity is about scale. You can't do this at a really small scale. You need to build up sufficient scale as a city or as a region in order to make the right investments to do that. So people, firms, policies and institutions, so it's altogether a pretty big portfolio of things to do. And that's why we call it a puzzle, because I call it a puzzle because it's just a lot of jigsaw pieces that you have to begin to put together and you have to look at all these aspects.
Yeah, and it's really helpful to break it down into those elements and see how they can operate independent, but then have spillovers into each other to help improve levels of productivity. So if you make good decisions in policy making for skills, then that can help lead to quite a significant improvement. So just one final question, what next? So what have you got planned for the next few years in the Productivity Institute in terms of your key work programs and the contribution that you're trying to make?
Yeah, so we're really zooming in at the moment on sort of the key question in those three buckets, people, firms, and institutions and policies, and organize our research around it, but also organize our engagement with the business and policy community around it. And I think that engagement really is two-way traffic. Academics can come up with brilliant research questions, but the question is, are they the right ones? So really what we want to hear from the business community is, what are the barriers in the policy community? What are the barriers and the challenges that they are facing? How can we translate them into better research questions? And some of that research we will have to do with the business and policy community. So one big piece of work that we're probably going to do is a large range of case studies on different aspects of productivity to really understand how organizations, firms, policy entities are dealing with these questions and what we can learn from this. So I think a lot of the focus in the next 3 years is to understand best practices. And last but not least, it's where we started this podcast, is the narrative around productivity is so important, right? We need to understand what we're talking about. Firms are measuring a lot of things that are actually very relevant for productivity. So my goal is not to say throw that all away and think differently. You know, you have to measure something else. I would say what you're actually measuring is very helpful, but let's understand how that fits together. Let's understand what policymakers measure and how altogether does that make us a productive economy, really, that indeed serves that sort of, you know, inclusive and sustained growth in the longer term.
That's absolutely fascinating. And for people who want to find out more, you can find out more about the Productivity Institute and what it's doing, including its work in Scotland at productivity.ac.uk. And I do encourage people to go and have a look at it. There are lots of really interesting articles and information about all those issues that we discussed in this podcast with Bart today. So Bart, just leaves me to say thank you very much for joining
us. Welcome. Yeah, great conversation.
Look forward to speaking to you soon.
Absolutely. Thanks.